This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast and Facebook Live in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I am joined, as ever, by the man himself, Nathan Blake, and sports reporter, Tom Coleman. Obviously, it's a special edition of the Boot Room this week, hence why we're doing it live, after the news that Neil Warnock has left his post as Cardiff City manager. So a lot to discuss in the next half hour, 45 minutes or so. For those of you listening to this in podcast form, we'll take this in a bit of a different structure. It's going to be a lot more Q&A based than what we're used to, but a lot of questions have been flooding in, so we'll be asking the panel that. So first of all, Blakey, I'll come to you. Neil Warnock left on Monday. What were your initial thoughts?
Oh, first of all, welcome.
Nice to be here, yeah.
Good to have you on, son. But nothing surprised me in football, to be honest with you. So when I heard the news, I was in the car and thought, oh, okay, it's, you know, form hasn't been great this season, expectation has, you know, I think weighed down the team, external factors, other things going on, with Emilio Sala and things like that. I don't think those things have helped, and I just think, you know, I would actually say we probably signed too many players. Like I said, Neil's been here, I've said it before, three seasons? And we've had, I think he signed about 40-odd players. Mm. To me, that's just too much. You know, that means you're just continually transitioning rather than thinking, right, I've got a settled squad for a year, and a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and then I'll make two or three changes just to freshen things up. Or I might sell two or three players if I got a couple of young players who've come through, sell two or three players for 15, 20 million quid and we freshen up again. Or, you know, I just thought it was no surprise. But I thought, in fairness to the club, I thought the timing was really good. Mm. I thought anyone coming in, the new manager coming in, is going to have a month or so to work with the players, see what he's got. I would have thought he's done his due diligence already. But he'll have an opportunity to work with the players for a month or so, and then the market opens. But what I would say is, you know, I wouldn't be so quick to say, right, go into the transfer market now in January. Mm. I honestly think at the club, I'd be saying to players, right, you're gonna have to get your agent to get you away in January. You know, I think the squad needs cutting.
Yeah, it's a bit bloated at the moment,
isn't it? It's huge, right? I think they've got, 35 to 40-odd players?
Yeah, they've got five strikers, haven't they?
Right, so I think, I bet even Mr. Tan is doing 2 or 3 million quid a month that he doesn't need to, which is ridiculous. Mm. You know, all these things have to be taken into consideration. So I would be looking at cutting the squad back, getting a few players out on loan, getting them playing again, and making sure that, you know, come the end of the season then, I can go, right, he's going, and have a more focused squad of 25, I say two or three, maybe three or four of those players should be from the 23s, 18s, mm. the up-and-coming youngsters who, you know, fit the bill. But 25, you've got your 23 squad and your 18 squad, and you know that's plenty. You mm. know, and really concentrate on, you know, trying to build a unity from, you know, development stage of 18s mm. right through
and, the real
and,
pathway.
Yeah, and the club has to understand, it has to get to understand its own philosophy, mm. and that's largely driven by the fans, right? What kind of football over the and it's over history. So I think part of the problem at the moment is we're kind of a, I always say the club is, the new Cardiff City is almost like a new club completely. Mm. You know, very little exists of history of Cardiff City.
Since the move to this new stadium?
And Ninian Park, yeah. There's no memorabilia. I know who has a lot of memorabilia, but there's not a lot of it around the club. And I think that disconnect is a major problem for the club. I really do.
So that's a big thing they've got to get back in.
Well, understand the philosophy of what your fans want to see as football goes, right? Take that philosophy and then search for the manager who fits that philosophy.
Mm.
So rather than me going, right, I'm going to go for you, Glenn, who likes to play long ball, doesn't work out, or does work out and doesn't work out after 2 or 3 years, then I go to you, T, who plays, you know, 20 passes a goal. Well, what I've got left in the middle is a group of players that, you know, play this way, but he wants to play a totally different way to how these players, one, are used to playing and how, you know, they've been brought up playing. So understand the philosophy. Build on that philosophy, and then recruit on that philosophy.
Tom, when you first heard the news on Monday afternoon, what were your initial thoughts?
Pretty similar, to be honest. It wasn't a massive surprise to me, because, I mean, results aside, I think the standard performances just haven't been good enough recently. The Derby Day defeat really did seem to be the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. And you sort of felt that it was inevitable even before that defeat to Bristol City, really. I get what Nathan's saying about the timing. I think perhaps if they were going to get rid of before the January window, this was the time to do it,
yeah.
What with an international break and everything coming up. It'll be interesting to see just how much time the new manager gets before the next game. Obviously, remember Dalman yesterday saying that he wants someone in, well, the club wants someone in by the end of the week. Whether that will happen, it remains to be seen. So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how much time the new manager gets to work with this group of players. And, you know, the philosophy question, I mean, I sort of wonder, is this group of players really capable of playing?
Well, that's the important question, isn't it?
Because, I mean, if you look at that squad, it is a kind of Neil Warnock-esque squad.
Or Neil Harris-esque squad.
Well, yeah, precisely. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that they might be looking at him, because it is perhaps a continuation of that philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry to cut across you, but that was the reason why I said like a few months ago, last season, that Chris Hughton would have been the perfect like transitional manager, because I would say he plays a better style of football than Neil. He's a very professional guy in his approach and how he does things, but he's not Pep Guardiola in his approach. So he sits in between. So these players, I'm not going to ask them to go from one extreme to the other, but I am going to ask, so players like Bakuna, I think, can play far more football. I think players like Bennett can play far more football. I think.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, I don't think they play at this moment to their maximum football wise.
Right, okay.
I think they play to a plan that was right when you're in this area. Mm. I know percentage football, so you know it was largely, you know, it's not what I'd done when I was at Chelsea as a kid, but when I came and we played under Len Ashurst, it was a bit percentage football. Right, and play in the right area. So you could only play at the other end of the pitch.
Mm.
But in your end of the pitch, it was percentage ball. Right, so knock it in that corner, and you're quick, Nath. You run in that corner 15 times, you get the ball at least 11, sort of thing. It was that. Then Eddie May came, and the whole philosophy changed. You know? But what changed also, well, what was evident was the fans, what they loved to see, which was a fast, free-flowing football. That a team that was strong had and could mix it, you know, but had technically very good players. So I think the players we got currently, I think Glatzel would improve from more football. I think Danny Ward would improve. I think Coilert is definitely a footballer. I think Mendes Lang would improve. I think Bakuna, I think he's had a really good season, but I think he would improve. I think Bennett would improve. My only like thing where I would be a bit is the centre half position.
Yeah.
I think Bamba, if he comes back, He played as a six at one point, so he definitely can play ball. But Morrison and Manga, they fit the Neil Warnock bill to a T. Mm. So that's where I would, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I would never have got rid of
Manga.
Bruno. Mm. No, I would, you know, Sol coming to the end of his career, was he 33, 34?
Yeah, 34.
Yeah, you know, play alongside Manga and 2 years' time, Manga's the captain, you know. He knows how to verbally deal with people. He's learned a lot of Sol, and, you know, you've got a solid, quality, athletic centre-back. You can put a young lad next to him going forward. There's just, you know, the continuation is, in my mind, there's so much that could be done. It's incredible. I just think, you know, that's why I would say we could be and should be, in my mind, a Premier League, you know, constant.
Mm. Thank you for your comments so far. Keep them coming in. Louis Rax says, nice jumper. I don't know which one of you two he's talking to. Robert Withers says, Nathan, put your hat in the ring. Blakey for next manager. We'll come back to those in a bit. But I suppose we should touch on Warnock and what he did for the club. When he came here in 2016, it was a club on the brink of crisis, really, wasn't it? And, just a word from you, Nathan, on how good of a job you think he did.
He's done an excellent job, you know, My problem, I didn't have a problem with Neil, but the issue was he only could take the praise. He, you know, and it was never personal. You know, I don't get personal with people.
Mm.
I just critically analyse the game or analyse the game and big you up one way or the other. And, you know, my problem was that he got, you know, started to get a bit vindictive and vicious. And all you're doing is simply pointing out the frailties of the team or the squad or suggesting where they could improve or what players could improve. And remember, I always say, it's just an opinion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that kind of disappointed me with Neil, to be honest with you, because what he'd done for the club was fantastic. You know, took over. What he'd done at Rotherham was outrageous, right? But that's what I say. He was the obvious choice for Cardiff.
Mm.
Right, and that's where I say where the hierarchy, they can say what they like, but they need help. No matter what anyone says or what they say, they didn't gain that promotion through careful planning.
Yeah.
Right, that promotion came, and they were like, "Wow, I can't believe we got up," sort of thing after a relegation battle that season. So it wasn't like right. Detailed, done their due diligence and got themselves in a position. Because if they had, they would have had a plan to stay there. So it was almost like, well, we'll go up, we'll come back. We've pulled in a bit of dough. We've recouped some of that money. And, you know, we'll move on from there. And I just thought, that's an opportunity lost.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, that's why I said I would have either asked Neil to improve his coaching staff or I would have moved him on, said thank you very much, and got a manager in there who I felt had stood more of a chance of staying up.
In fairness, it's very difficult to do that though when that manager has
just promoted you
against all the odds.
Absolutely, but football is, like I said, nothing surprises me in football. It's a ruthless game, right? It is dog eat dog. No one's going to help you get to the top of the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? It took Liverpool 30 years to get back there. Do you know what I mean? No one's going to help you. Remember Southampton when they sacked Pochettino? Outcry, fans, press, everybody. It's a disgrace. Right. Ask them a year later if they would prefer Pochettino or Atkins. You know, sometimes nothing or nobody is bigger than the Blue Lady. Right? She's the most important thing. Then the fans, then the players and the management staff and the staff who run the club. Right? But that's, for me, the order of service. The club comes first, and after that, you know, sometimes I'm going to have to make some ruthless decisions for the good of the club. And the fans, they might be giving me pelters, right? But I always remember when Newcastle sold Andy Cole in my day, and it was uproar. Remember, Newcastle fan just had a tattoo of Coley on his leg and, and he left like 2 days later and he was on the news and everything.
It still hurts for Tom, who's a Newcastle fan, by the way.
When Keegan was on the step saying, trust me, don't worry, trust me, and then all of a sudden Shearer comes in, right?
But they didn't win the league. They didn't win
no,
the
they league. Didn't. They didn't. But, you know, I think what...
Andy Cole did.
Yeah. But my point was, for the position, you know, Coley, as much as I love him, he's not Alan Shearer. Do you understand what I mean? So, okay, they might not have won the league, but their hometown boy came back, scored goals, broke records, got bars named after him, this, that, the other. And he's forever a god there. Do you know what I mean? So had they won the Premier League prior to that? No. You know, had they had a stint in the 90s or the 80s where they were, you know, the Liverpool of the time or the Man United of the time, the Leeds of the... No. So, you know, weighing it all up, I think if you said to Newcastle fans, would you have You've got the choice, continue with Cole, see where it goes, or take Shearer and what came with it. I don't think you get many that go against it.
Mm. Well, you two have obviously seen a lot more of Neil Warnock's reign than I have, having only come in this season. So a couple of questions from Kai Parry. Kai Parry says, I'll put it to both of you, favourite moment of the Warnock era? Tom, we'll go with you first.
I would say away at Hull in the promotion season, but actually in many ways I kind of preferred the win at Ipswich that season. It was midweek, cold, gutsy performance. Not a great game to watch, but it kind of really did, I guess, sum up that season, which was grinding towards the top and battling against all odds. And you know, there weren't many times where I've seen Neil Warnock as pleased with a team performance as he was on the back of that at Portman Road. So yeah, I think for some reason that one really, really does stick out for me.
And you, Blake, either?
Wolves away in the promotion season.
Oh, right, yeah.
Not because I called it, but because it let me think, right, you know, sometimes you can question yourself and you think, well, I've put it out there now. I think they'll go up there and they'll get a result because I don't think Wolves be ready for what Cardiff bring. They've seen football, but they haven't seen this type of football. And Cardiff went up and done a job on them. It was my old team as well, so it was not... Like, there's no great pleasure in it, but just seeing what they've done and knowing, yeah, it was a fantastic result.
And Kai also asks, what's the best signing of the Warnock era? Tom, welcome to you again first, so Blakey can collect his thoughts. Obviously, you got that. There was a couple of free agents, wasn't there, when he first came in, and then the promotion season and. I'll see a couple this season that might not have worked out, but
it's difficult to pick one out, to be honest, because I mean a lot of those players have been very, very up and down. I think at his best, Nathaniel Mendes-Lang for me has been a very, very he's been an inspired signing, but he's been a bit hot and cold, especially this season. I mean, I think back to, I mean, we were talking about memories earlier. It's interesting no one's mentioned the win at Old Trafford. Which I don't think, you know, there's not many Cardiff City fans who will say in their lifetime we've been to Old Trafford and won. Mm. So, and Mendes-Lang was excellent that day. So I think ability-wise, he's got to be up there for me. But it's not really a standout one for me, I've got to be honest.
Blakey?
Sol Bamba by a mile, followed by probably Højlund.
Yeah.
Højlund not great signings in the Premier League, you know, and that's happened to him previously before he came here, but in a championship campaign, Sol Bamba by a country mile.
So we'll move on a little bit then, because we've spoken about the Neil Warnock era, but I suppose, as always, it's time to look forward as well. Yesterday we understood that Cardiff had narrowed their search down to two managers, those being Neil Harris and Lee Bowyer. But today Tom understands that another man has been put into the frame as well. So, Tom.
Don't ask me who it's going to
be. Is he sitting in between us? That's the real question, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
me? Right, whoa.
I can tell you who it's not going to be.
Yeah. Me.
Is this some kind of exclusive?
It's not going to be me, trust me.
Well, I mean, obviously Mike Flynn seemingly ruled himself out yesterday, despite the bookies seemingly having, I think he was second or third favourite before we came in here, and then Chris Hughton as well. It doesn't sound like he's going to be the man. There was some appetite amongst the board for Chris Hughton, but I think the feeling is that he's not going to be interested.
He wants a Premier League job, doesn't he?
And he has gone on record saying that he would like his next job to be in the Premier League. So whether Cardiff...
Eddie Newton. Say it all the time. There'll be fans out there.
We'll come on to that. I think we got a question.
Yeah, right, well, yeah. We will come on to Eddie Newton. But, I mean, it's not... At the moment, it's not a name that I've heard really in the mix at the moment. But Sol Bamba's another one that's being mentioned. But it's difficult to see how that one's going to work, particularly... Given that he's, I believe he's not done his coaching badges.
He's yet. Done his B license, I think.
He's done his B license. I think he's doing his A license
to be able to do it anyway.
So I can't see that happening. Some are saying Bellamy, given the way he left the club.
No,
I can't see that happening.
That's never going to happen.
So, I mean, if Blakey's got any got any further suggestions, I'm all ears. But
I do you know what? I haven't even thought about it. I honestly.
Lie.
I had gone. No, honestly, I kind of had the Chris Hughton thing, and I've been saying it for a while. The Eddie Newton thing, I've stated that before. The Saul Campbell thing, I've said that before. I think Lee Bowyer, the way he started, I think that would be a decent option.
Mm.
Because Charlton play some decent football as well. But you know, honestly, I haven't given much thought. Like I always say, I don't call for managers to come or go. Like I'll chuck names in the hat, but I'm not saying like, oh, it should be.
Yeah.
Just mean it's just one of those things. All my job, I see it as is analysing what happens and analysing the club at large. You know, on behalf of us, ourselves, and the fans.
Mm.
The thing is, as well, is that I mean, this whole conversation could be redundant because. By the sounds of it,
they've already got
someone. Neil Harris is the preferred man.
I would say they've already got someone. You don't sack a manager and not have someone lined up. And Neil Harris, the thing was, if it's Neil Harris, they wouldn't have had to worry about compensation.
No.
They don't have to worry about, you know, or contact him while he's at another club or anything like that. He's a free agent, so, you know.
With that in mind then, and with Neil Harris being the out-and-out favourite with the bookies... Alex Davis says, with the way the championship is evolving, is a long ball type of manager going out of fashion? Therefore, is Neil Harris really the best
choice? He's gone out of fashion.
So therefore, is it
you watch
Harris
League
the best
Two
choice?
Football, you know, I've seen Wales under 19s today. Everyone plays football. Mm. Everyone in League Two, League One, you know, I would say, okay, 95% of teams are rolling out from the back or passing it within the 18-yard box. It's a thing of the past. But whoever comes in, like I said a couple of months ago, it's going to take you a while to turn this squad around.
Yeah.
Because there's, first of all, there's the cutting back. There's probably at least 10 players that you can shelve off, maybe 15, straight away. Right? But then you've got the squad of whoever keeps 25 odd players. Then you're going to have to overhaul that. And I said, you're not going to do that in... a transfer window or two.
No.
That's what I was saying, and I think that was what got Neil's goat. I said it's going to take, you know, 3 years, you know, of a summer and a winter, summer, winter, summer. It's going to take you at least 5 or 6 transfer windows to get a manager into a position with a squad that of his choice. But if you go with a Neil Harris, then a lot of the players, I'm not saying he would sign them, but he would work and has worked with those sorts of players before. So
we have a couple of questions here, which I think is quite an interesting topic. It's regarding a director of football. So I know it's been mooted a few times over the years at Cardiff City that they've been looking at potentially bringing in a director of football. Mehmet Dalman said as much yesterday to the BBC, said there's something he would welcome on the board, some more footballing knowledge.
Mm.
So with that in mind, these two questions here are regarding that. Charlie Wilbury says, will a director of football be a good idea going forward given the lack of footballing nuance at board level? And Blue Flyby says, with our academy producing next to nothing of note for pretty much a decade and our decisions in terms of spending larger sums of money over the past 3 years being largely abysmal, is the appointment of a director of football maybe more important than the choice of manager? Like, have you played at clubs with sporting directors or anything like that?
It's before my time. Great years, mate.
didn't like to say anything.
It's not something that was was around in my time, but what you had was like a chief scout that the manager usually worked with alongside. A lot of the managers in my day, they picked the players they wanted to buy and brought them in. I think what the difference is now, I think what Cardiff need to do is bring someone in who can help Vincent Tan, Mehmet and Ken if Neil Harris comes in and says, right, I want to bring in like A, B, and C, and the director of football doesn't think, well, they're not going to fit into our philosophy going forward where we want to be. This is why I hark back to the philosophy of the club, right? All you're doing is going further away from where you need to be. So if Neil Harris says, I want A, B, and C, the director of football might say, well, I'll go with A, explain to me how B is going to fit in, and C is a definite no-no, right? Because we're looking to go here, right? And either you transition with us, or you take us so far, then we move on. But when we move on to the next manager, we're going to have the players that manager fits the philosophy of our club. So he will want those style of players.
Mm-hmm.
So it all matches up.
Yeah.
Do you understand me? Otherwise, you get a manager now who signs another 3 or 4 players, and all of a sudden you've got 40-odd players who you want to transition to a more exciting type of football. But, you know, like I said, you're 3-4 years off it. You know, that's the reality. And I'm not saying you can't get promoted in that time. I'm saying the style of football you want to play, right? Which I think, listen, I've played for Cardiff. I know those fans and what style of football they'd want to see, right? And I know the fact that as much as they enjoyed the promotion and, you know, they love Neil Warnock for what he'd done, you know, the one thing I would say that would gripe them is don't play the ball on the floor, right? I got my own mate, Mal. Mal's a big Cardiff fan. He's like 65, old Cardiff nut, but he's an old, lovely guy, and he's a diehard, right? And I mean diehard to the bone. But, you know, loved Warnock for what he done, you know, loved the promotion campaign, but he's been watching football 50 years, 60 years, or 90 years, 50, 60 years. He wants to see football. He wants to be, you know, are you not entertained?
Yeah.
Is this not why you're here?
Yeah.
That's what you're here. You pay your money to be entertained. You don't pay your money just to say we got 3 points in Ofsky. You know, you want to sit down at a pub with your mate and say, oh, my God, see you time of day. What a dribble. The only time down I left there, when he hit the bar with that, oh, my God, he's a player, mate. He gets me out of my seat. That's the whole idea of the game, mate.
So Ryan Davis is asking if you've put your CV forward for a director of football role.
I've always said that's the only role I would consider in football. I don't want to coach. I don't want to manage. I took a course on being on the board and stuff like that with the PFA. 4 or 5 years ago, I sat on the board, I chaired the board at Counting the Community, the charity arm of the club. We started, you know, myself, Norman Parcell, started with a bag of balls, bibs and cones, and that was it. You know, 4 years later, you know, we're right up there in and amongst the community doing so many different things. So I know financially how things roll at the football club, but I know our fans role at a football club, and I know football, and I can spot a player. I think I'm not going to chuck my hat in the ring.
Why not?
Because I don't think. Well, I think there's a feeling at the club that I have something against them, but I see the boot room as working with them because I've also been told on numerous occasions that they listen to the boot room, and then Glenn, you and I, and definitely when John Dole was doing it, and definitely when Dominic's doing it. We'd say things on the boot room, and they would happen like 3 months later or 6 months later, you know. So, you know, we're not a hindrance, but I get the feeling that is how they see myself as a hindrance. They might not like the fact that, you know, I say a lot of things that make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but someone constructive and somebody who clearly loves the club, like yourself, that's somebody that they need in that role, isn't it?
Absolutely, and, you know, if they came to me, I wouldn't turn it down. I wouldn't be as arrogant or as stupid, do you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, 45 minutes from where I live, and it's the club I love.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you're just dealing with people and just trying to make them see things that they hadn't seen before. It was like when I went and helped Howard Greenough at Newport. You know, he, you know, they were doing things at Newport, you know, that would make your eyes water, right? And I look at the supporters just now, and you say on the pitch they've done a fantastic job, but off the pitch, you know, in the 4 years I was chair of the community, we've had 7 CEOs come through the club. Seven. Mm. 6, I think, director of academies. 5 secretaries. You know, it's just not conducive to long-term success.
Mm, they need somebody to unite all that.
Yeah, you need. Well, you need to work. You know, a football club needs to work. Like Harry Bassett used to say, the kit ladies, the people in the ticket office. You know, when I was at Bolton with Colin Todd, on promotions. You know, it was just such a happy place to be. You go into the training ground, you know, the dinner ladies are great, everyone's happy, everyone, I know people still have their problems day to day, but you actually look forward to, I used to drive up, you know, the M6 and think, oh yes, man, go into the dressing room, have a bit of banter, have a laugh, yeah. Go to the training, you know, go out, say the ticket office goes, morning or afternoon, blah, blah, blah. You know, you've been doing it. So it was, it becomes a community within a community, and then, you know, you do things for fans like Christmas time, you pay for coaches and things like that, and you get the players to engage with the fans more. And I just think it's, you know, there's so much that could be done. And, you know, Vincent Tan, Ken Chu, Mehmet Ahmed, they would be on the fans' shoulders celebrating promotion, genuinely on fans' shoulders celebrating. That's what I would want to see. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones who've been there. Vincent Tan is the one who's put his money in and, you know, built the club to what it is, you know, and there's a lot of good things going on. I still maintain they need their own training ground, though.
And yeah. It's not going to be you, Blakey, who stands out?
I haven't got a clue.
No?
Like I said, I haven't thought about it. No. Honestly, I haven't thought about, you know, if I hadn't thought about the manager, I definitely haven't been thinking about who the director of football is going to be.
Nigel Arra says, does this rule out the Eddie Newton Blakey dream team then? So Eddie Newton in charge with you above him?
Yeah, listen, it look, stranger things have happened, but like I said, there's nothing to indicate to me from the club that they even, in fact, I would go the opposite way and say, you know, what has the things that have happened to me over the years at the club is more like there's a dislike, do you know what I mean? Rather than a respect. I mean, where that comes from, I don't know. I have my own personal thoughts on it, but I wouldn't share them because I think they're, like I said, they're personal.
Okay, then Nigel also says, my question would be, why are Cardiff City, with parachute money in a multi-million pound squad, seemingly looking at cheap options rather than another Fan United successful manager? It all feels so lo-fi. Tom, what do you make of that? Is this sort of the uninspiring names that are coming up, I guess, is it?
I couldn't really agree more, and I think one of the appeals of Neil Harris is that there's no compensation there. I think perhaps that's one of the things that's gone against Lee Bowyer, I don't know. Lee Bowyer, for me, would be a better choice. Considering the job he's done with Charlton, seems to be a man in demand at the moment. Stock is very, very high. But yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I know Dalman attempted to sort of explain where a lot of the money had gone after the Premier League season, you know, saying, you know, it's not as simple as taking parachute payments.
It's gone back to Mr. Tan, and rightly so. That's the whole idea. That's so to say, the amount of money Vincent Tan must lose monthly on what I would call the academy and 23s, because nothing's coming back your way. We've had no players come through, not sold any players on. Paying out for the training ground, monthly, yearly, whatever, do you know what I mean? And then buying players who you would say, would I be kind in saying 40% of Neil Warnock's signings have been successful, or would you say that's too high?
A bit too high.
Right. Maybe. And then you got to think yourself, go all the way back to the original with the Malky Mackay situation. Right? So, you know, and, you know, my thing with the owners was always the red shirts and the badge. Right? That was always a non-starter for me.
Yeah.
If I was at the club, that probably would have been the straw that broke the camel. That would probably mean us part ways, right? But that was always the issue. But you can't never level at Vincent Tan. You don't spend money. You can't.
No.
You can't. And listen, we're not at the point in the Premier League where we're able to buy 40 and 50 million pound players because we know, you know, we've got...
It's going to be sustainable for the next few years.
Right, because of how we're set up and how... But, you know, if you want to get there, there's certain things you've got to put in place. It's as simple as that.
A couple of comments coming in. Sean Gunning says, can we have Neil Harris? Benjamin Rees says, defence is awful and nothing up top. Howell Jones says, Chris Hughton is the obvious choice, isn't he, to get the job? Callum Murray just says, Hudson. I would think that means Mark Hudson, maybe. Luke Taylor says, anyone but Harris. And Brandon Amblin says, Earnshaw as manager. Right, next question from Bob Beans.
That's a great name.
That is a superb name.
It says, Blakey, whoever our next manager is, what do you think should be their priority and brief for the remainder of this season?
Well, first and foremost, you don't want to be dropping any lower in the league.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can get to the playoffs, great. That's a bonus. But if not, because I've said from day one, I think we're an 8 to 10
kind of
positional team, right? And we're slightly lower than that. So the brief would be, right, keep us in a comfortable position, improve the standard of football. I need to see strikers scoring goals. We've had how many strikers in the last 4 or 5 years?
It's about five on the books now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've not had one striker to score 15 goals. And if you know Cardiff's history, it's just like, it's mind-boggling, right? It is. Like Ernie just got mentioned there. Ernie, like a goal machine.
Yeah.
I played with Carl Day and Chris Pike, goal machines. You know what I mean? 20, of course, that's like the league will write the cheque for you for the 20 goals straight away. Start of the season. You know what I mean? It was a guaranteed.
Yeah.
But does that not come back to money, though? Because
no, it comes down to how you play also. Right?
But to buy a goal scorer that bangs in 20 goals a season, that's about the most expensive.
There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. You know, Spurs, what was the boy Spurs bought recently, about 3 years ago?
Soldado or Janssen?
Janssen, right? Good goal scoring record for a kick. But there's no guarantee. There's absolutely no guarantee. So it's more, you touched on it earlier on, Tom, it's more the performance and how you play and structure of how you play. Mm. Is it conducive to strikers scoring goals? Well, for us, no. It's set pieces, and at set pieces we aim for the two big men. Hence why they end up with 5 or 6, 7 goals a season. The centre-halves, or Morrison, or Manga, Bamba. Do you know what I mean? That was no surprise. And then your striker only ended up with like 8, 9, 10 goals. Mm. You have to, not even on the modern day, I won't say that. In football, you have to play a way that is going to create chance. That's what you're looking to do, create chance.
I mean, for me,
if your striker's missing 15 efforts every two games, then you've got something to complain about.
Mm. I mean, Glatzel's the primary example, I suppose, on that. Because, I mean, he just looks so isolated at times. And it almost got to a point where you got the feeling that Warnock kind of didn't really know what to do with him.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
He wasn't really a target man.
No. Well, he's never been a target man. I've seen that just from his YouTube clips.
Mm.
And I wasn't involved in the transfer of him. But if you look at his YouTube clips, you know he's not a target man. Yeah. He doesn't play... Emilio was more of a target man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was his strength. But Glatzel wasn't a target man.
Yeah, he didn't seem to score any headers for Heidenheim.
He runs towards the goal. Mm. Yeah, he's not... He can hold it up a bit and do a bit. But it's not the strongest part of his game. No, his strongest part is in between the sticks.
Darren Brown asks a question for Blake.
Darren Brown.
Would you ever consider working with a club if they approached you? I think we've already touched 100% on that.
100%,
yeah. Johan Bowen Pickett says, has Bellamy's...
Great name.
Yeah, this is a good name. They're really Welsh. Has Bellamy's bullying allegations completely ruled him out of becoming the next manager? Personally, I think Bellamy wouldn't have been a bad shout considering his knowledge and understanding of the fans and club.
Listen, he's got a great knowledge. I've always said it, Craig. He understands, as most footballers do. But I also said to him a few years ago, pipe down.
Mm.
We're supposed to get calmer as we get older. Right? And it's a way of speaking to people. Don't worry. Listen, we all have the red mist, but, you know, I used to live in red mist. Now, red mist will come if it comes at all. What? You know, even driving, I don't get the red mist anymore. I used to.
No road rage.
No, because as you get older, you just calm down and wait for grandkids. That's what I'm doing for my children. You know what I mean? I'm not at the point where I'm like, yo, let's see the crate. Look, mate, you can't say that to people.
Mm.
Right? Mm. So I would say, if I was technical director, I'd say to Craig, you need professional help with that temperament.
Mm.
Then I would consider you, right? Because, you know, the aggression and everything is cool, but you've got to control it. It's no different than the game itself. If you go, lose your head, smash someone, off you go, waste of time. Controlled aggression, you know? But
there's been questions about his attitude throughout his career.
It's always been the same. He's not, and that's the thing with Craig, he's not going to change, man.
Yeah.
You know, I give it maximum 3 months before someone, him and someone have tangled in the dressing room. Maximum 3 months.
But at Anderlecht, or if he got...
No, at Anderlecht, what he's done, he's in a position, thankfully, to company, where he knows, right, it's not just me I let down here. If I resort back to my normal way, I let Vincent down.
Yeah.
And if I let Vincent down, no one's going to give me a job again in football. Mm. Don't matter if I go to Mars and there's a team there, they're going to, nah, you're all right, right? So while he's in the position he's in, he can curb it. But what I'm saying is, he should be learning now how that approach should be his normal approach.
Mm. Tom, what do you think? Do you think the bullying allegations have perhaps hindered his chances, especially because it's so fresh after...
Well, you can't bring him in. You just couldn't.
I would be surprised.
It's going to be smashed publicly.
Because that internal investigation has just come out, doesn't it, where that found that there was problems with the coaching methods.
Yeah. I mean, I would be very surprised. I mean, it would be a very, very odd move considering...
You can't consider him. Imagine you still have kids and parents who are still probably around the club or friends at the club or whatever. Listen, what I'd suggest to Craig is do what you're doing at Anderlecht and find a different route, and maybe 5 years from now, maybe.
He's a very popular choice for the fans, though.
Mm. Yeah, it's a romantic choice again, though, isn't it? I think personally. Mm. But Reese Burris says, would appointing Neil Harris be a backwards step?
I wouldn't say it's a backward step, no. And
I would say it's a sideways step, personally.
I would say it's a similar version of what you got, but like I said, it's no point going to the other extreme. You need similar, but that's where when you sit down, Mehmet, Ken, and Vincent, when you sit down, we're sorting out right. When we step to him, how do we see it? How do we want it to go? How do we see it? There's no guarantees, but how do we see it going? What are we going to get from him?
Mm.
Right? Don't expect to be, you know, top eight in the Premier League. What do you expect to get from Neil Harris? And then what have you got to come after that? Mm. So, you know, if you want to move to a more exciting style of football, it's not gonna happen tomorrow.
That's kind of where you need a director of football, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it's difficult to convince people who think they know because they're rich. That's the problem with rich people. Wealth creates confusion to me, right? Rich people go, like, I own, you know, a TV channel, blah, 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 or I own a corporate company and blah, 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 and I'm going to, what's my business? Coffee. Okay, right. I want to buy a football club, right? And it's, right, because I'm the wealthy one and I know what I'm doing, blah, 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 blah. This is what happens. And Cardiff was a prime example of, no, you don't, right? You're making mistakes left, right, and centre. Simple, the most blatant mistake, like I said earlier, like the kit colour change and the badge. You can't touch that. That's sacred.
Yeah.
Right? You can't touch that. If I'm sat in the boardroom and that gets mentioned, I'm going, what? They're crazy. What? No, wait, no. You can't touch those two things, right? You can't do it. You're just going to create 3 years, 4 years of just unrest. And some people, as they are will never come back.
Mm.
Simply for the suggestion of it. Even if you don't do it, some people...
I feel too scarred by it.
And until you're gone, they will never come back. Mm. I've got friends like that.
Mm. Well, that was one of the biggest achievements of Warnock, though, wasn't it? Because he healed a lot of those those injuries, didn't
he? Yeah, but, you know, are they healed? This is what we're talking about now with the decision-making that comes. Do we resort back to that where everyone's scratching heads going, what is going on? Mm. What are they doing?
But, I mean, it's interesting because, like, with all the supposed lack of knowledge and footballing knowledge in that boardroom, Neil Warnock, a man who you would have thought would instantly kick off in that kind of environment, has got nothing but good things to say about them.
Mehmet he speaks highly of. Does if you notice, he always very would mention Mehmet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Vincent, I don't know Ken, I don't know Mehmet, so I can't speak either way of either of them. All I say is, the man with the check always wrote checks, but he needs guidance. And I'd say to him, your plan is to make money, yes?
Yeah.
All right, okay, for the last 6-7 years.
Am I Vincent here?
Yeah, you were. Oh, no, you were Vincent,
I was in character.
Yeah. For the last 6-7 years, you know, take away the promotion campaign, you've probably lost a lot of money. You know, the academy isn't making money and it's not creating players.
Mm.
Come on, let's get right through the club and, you know, put something in place which, you know, allows you to grow and allows you to become what 30,000, 40,000 Cardiff fans want you to be.
What do you think then of, because there have been some suggestions that Vincent's going to take a more hands-on role going forward.
Mm.
I mean, how do you...
If he holds my hand, he'd be fine. If he doesn't, then listen, I'm not going to prejudge. He might have learned a lot in the last 2 years. Not saying he can't learn, because it's the decision making.
He has said he's learned.
It's not picking a team. Yeah, but let's see what happens. Yeah. I'm not prejudging. I just, you know, like I say, I hope it's successful, whatever it does.
Tom, I'll put this one to you. Darren Brown says, another question. Going forward, what players could we lose in January and what players should we be going for? Do you think there's any players who are worried about the January transfer window coming up? I suppose Gary Medine probably.
Gary Medine is the one that sticks out. I think whether Warnock had stayed or not, I think his time at Cardiff City would probably be coming to an end.
Yeah, they tried to ship him on in the summer, didn't they?
Yeah, it just hasn't quite worked out. I think that price tag as well has weighed very, very heavily. And,
yeah, it's been a shame there.
Yeah, I think he's the main one that sticks out. But, I mean, there's a lot of question marks over, like, so, I mean, Will Volks, for example, who's sort of been in, he's not really been able to get into the team at the moment.
Bizarre.
So it really depends on who the new man is, I guess.
Jason Brand says on a similar theme, some players are capable of playing completely different styles of football and in a more attacking format. How many and in what positions will be key for January? So in terms of sign-ins, I guess.
Oh.
In terms of the type of player.
I honestly wouldn't be. You know, it's not always fixed by signing.
No.
If you've got 40-odd players, listen, select your 20-odd players from there. You've got plenty for now to select from, right? I don't want to hear this argument, oh, it's not my team and blah, 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 blah. Because let's say it's Neil Harris, you know, you've got better players here than you did at Millwall, right? Mm-hmm. And you're playing a similar style. So let's, first of all, foremost, let's see what you can do with the player. You know, it's not always, the money doesn't always fix it, right?
Yeah.
It's a help. But it's not.
Signings Cardiff have made.
Exactly. It's proved it. You know, I look at the squad. Bogle, you wouldn't say, has been a success. Right? Medine, you wouldn't say, has been a success. You know, Mendes Lang, successful. Smithies, you would sit on the fence. So you go through Vassell. Right. It's good to see Curtis Nelson. I thought he played really well the other night.
Yeah,
and he's more of an athlete, I thought. Mm. He's someone who I would look to be persistent with now.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, you've got to, the squad is massive. You know, Joe Day, like I said.
Well, he's another keeper, one who may be.
But don't need you. Move him on. Get him playing first team football elsewhere, either on loan to begin with. Move him on. And then bring in the young lad. Sit on the bench.
Mm.
All right? You play for the 23s and you sit on the bench. Oh, you know, it's just, to me, it's just, it blows my mind that Cardiff seem to shell out so much, that seem to recoup next to nothing.
Yeah.
The last 4 or 5 years has just been, Mr. Tan's just been doing that.
Signing checks. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It'll be interesting to see what they do in January, though.
I don't hope they don't sign anyone, but I hope whoever comes in does that, you know, evaluates what you got first. Don't come in thinking, oh, you know, I'm gonna make signings. You know, like I said, you've got 40 odd players there, plus the 23s, plus a youth team. You know, I'm
sure there's
60 odd players there for you to mix and match a decent 18 that can muster up, you know, enough points to get you into a decent position in the league, surely.
Some more comments coming in, thank you for those. Derby Francis says, Nathan Blake, director of football, Mark Hughes, Robert Earnshaw and Eddie Newton as the coaching staff, the Welsh Dream Team.
Yeah.
And Harrod Wheeler, strip Morrison of the captaincy, bit of a left field one. Darren Page said, I'd like to see Bellamy given a go, at least until the end of the season, or Bamba, someone who really knows the club. And Paul Driscoll says, youth system gone to the scrapyard. We need a manager who can bring the youth players through to the first team. We also need a patient. Also need to be patient in them coming through.
Yeah.
Right, so next question, then on to the last couple now. Paul Driscoll, do you think we had a poor summer transfer window and couldn't get the quality we needed after letting go some of the quality we already had? Bobby Reid comes to mind, and not wanting to play the hoof football Warnock wanted to play.
I would say yes. I would say purely because of the departures. I mean, we touched upon it earlier, Bruno Manga, a huge loss. Huge loss, because, you know, Aidan Flint, Sean Morrison, the two defenders dominate, win everything in the air. But I mean, I noticed it on the opening day against Wigan.
Ball on the floor.
When the ball is on the floor, when they're hit out with pace, both of them struggle. And, you know, it wasn't so. And I think you can have one of them in there, but like it only seems to work really when you've got that athlete.
Correct.
Yeah. Thanks, Blakey. alongside them, someone who can, you know, sort of mop up when, like I said, the ball is on the floor. So I mean, he's been a huge loss. I think Gunnarsson's been a big loss as well, and Reid not so much, because I wasn't. It's not that I was unconvinced by Reid.
It was bowled over by him.
Well, I just feel like we never really saw the best of him in a Cardiff City shirt, and I mean, I think his. I don't want to use the word exile, I think that's a bit strong, but I mean, his inability to get into that starting 11 towards the end of the Premier League season was a bit baffling at times. But I don't think his loss is felt too much in this team. I think Manga has got to be the main one for me.
Okay, Ben Johnsy says, do you think Neil Harris may have been forced to play the brand of football he did with such little resources at Millwall? That is interesting, because I spoke to somebody at South London Press yesterday who said it would be intriguing if he got the Cardiff City job and he actually had the funds available, because he was on a shoestring budget at Millwall and they kind of felt that there was a bit of a glass ceiling there. So do you think he might be the sort of manager that could be adaptable if he gets more funds?
Everyone's adaptable, you would hope.
Mm.
It's not a lot to base that on, yeah, I guess. I mean, because we're looking at the job he did at Millwall, which, you know, let's be fair, he did a really good job there. But I mean, it's difficult to say what he'd do with certain players. I mean, what I will say is that, you know, there are players in there who are capable of playing a different type. And if I'm a Lee Tomlin or a Murphy,
let me just make this one point, right? Something Neil Warnock said the other day, which I found amazing. He said Chris Wilder, mentioned him and what he's done, what he's doing, where he's got his team in the Premier League. And then he mentioned, after saying no, I mean no disrespect, but the team is bang average or something like that, right? Yeah. My immediate reaction was, okay, so it can be done.
Yeah.
So going to the Neil Harris point, I always thought, well, that's a bit of a cop-out, right? My team's not as good as yours. Mate, I'm sure I could find players down in League Two, non-league, who bring them up, coach for 3 months, that player be worth £5 million, £10 million. That's happened a million times.
Mm.
We could all name players, right? That's happened to. I've said it before, when you choose to play this way, right? This is a choice. If your team It's muscle memory, right? Guys, if you're here every day, you're passing. I know, right, Sheffield United know, right, my player for player, isn't as good as Arsenal's.
Mm-hmm.
But my team, put together with a plan, is far better than Arsenal's.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not always, one, it's not always about signing players, and two, it's not always about, well, has the manager got money? That's what I'm saying. Whoever comes in, you've got a, you know, there's a whole leap, and it's a whole leap to do. You know, chop the ones you know. Listen, like you mentioned Medine. He's had opportunity, whether you think the opportunity was long enough or not long enough, you've had opportunity. Right?
22 opportunities.
And sometimes,
he did well under Chris Wilder.
Yeah, maybe. And sometimes opportunity only knocks once. It's not 22 times as far as you're concerned. Right, so, okay. Chances of now you endearing yourself to our fans, we're almost at zero. Mm. So, shake hands, cut your losses, move him on. Right? Or adopt the policy where you say, right, I'll allow you to sign a player if you get rid of two or three. So I know my wage bill is definitely doing this rather than doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Right, we'll come on to the last question then from Philip Moss, who says, do you think we should go abroad for a manager? It worked well for Wolves. Tom, your thoughts on that one?
I'm not really sure it makes a massive amount of difference, really, where they come from.
It is interesting, though, that the whole pool of managers that we've looked at tend to be British managers or Belgians based abroad now, but...
I don't want to sound too much like Sam Allardyce here, but I think there is too much of a, perhaps, foreign managers have become very fashionable now.
Mm.
And I think, you know, the philosophies that some of them have, you know, when you hear a certain name, how a certain name sounds, it can seem a lot
Nuno
more...
Espirito Santo.
Exactly. You know, it sounds exciting. I'm not really sure it makes a massive amount of difference. I mean, for me, it's just got to be the best fit for Cardiff City and the best person for the job. If that happens to be someone from abroad, great. It doesn't sound like Cardiff are really casting the net abroad at the moment. No. They seem to be looking a little bit closer to home, as we've said with, you know, Harris and Bowyer and whatnot. I don't think it makes a massive amount of difference for me.
Where are you, Blakey? Go abroad?
I'm kind of in the same boat, best man for the job, as far as you do your due diligence on the player. But the problem is, like I say, you've got to understand your own oneself first before you can start saying, well, we'll pick him to be our team lead. We've got to understand what our team is about first. Mm. What is our club about? You know, what are our fans about? What do they see as entertainment?
Mm. How do you think this will go? Because obviously we've heard Dalman saying that he wants a manager who's going to come in and have them hitting 35 shots a game or whatever. Do you think it'll work out in the board will go to the prospective managers and say, we want to be playing this way? Or they go up to these prospective managers and say, right, how do you want Cardiff City playing? Which way round do you think that conversation will
go? Well, I think that's a problem when you start putting statistics into it. Right, because
in fairness, it was a tongue in cheek comment from.
Oh, okay.
No, I understand.
Okay. Well, you didn't say that.
I was
Stitching up Mehmet there.
I was using that as an example in terms of, because obviously Bowyer and Harris, two very different styles. So if Dalman, for example, went up to Harris and says, "We want to be playing this slick, fast football," blah blah blah, or do you think you'll go up to Harris and say, "What football would you employ? Impress me."
Well, I think that's what you do in an interview process.
Mm.
I think that's the whole point of knowing your philosophy of your club.
Mm.
You interview the person, you'll have a general idea if he's worked before. If he's not had a number one's job, then in the interview process, can you impress me? Simple as that.
I'll be surprised if that's not already been covered, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think they will have sounded out someone like Harris without doing, as Nate says, their due diligence on it. I think it sounds like we might very well be past that stage anyway.
Mm. Well, we'll have to wait and see in the next couple of days to see who that man is. Thanks again for all your questions. Thanks for listening and watching. And make sure you keep up to date with all the Cardiff City news at Wales Online.